The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we have a special report from our regular roving reporter, Josh Crosby, about the cost of homelessness and emergency accommodation. Apparently, it cost over €360 million in 2024. And one way to cut down on the spending is the suggestion that councils purpose build or buy designated accommodation for the homeless. And Josh joins me now. I remember reading these reports, and it was actually the cost per person affected was more than if you put them up in a four-star hotel. It was unbelievable. So we're talking big money here?
We are, Ivan. And I think just to start off, to put these costs into context, I suppose we need to first look at how many beds are being provided and, of course, how many people are now homeless. So the latest figures show that there were over 15,700 people living in emergency accommodation at the end of May. This includes almost 5,000 children. So look, record numbers of homelessness there. And these are only the official figures. There could be many more going unrecorded or in different situations where they just simply don't have a place to call their own.
Okay, so of the 16,000 homeless people who need overnight shelter and a bed, what are the different types of accommodation provided, or how is it provided?
Well, the reality is that there's a huge, huge reliance on the private sector. So your B&Bs, hotels, they'll agree a contract with the state and turn their businesses into emergency accommodation. And this is where the big money comes in. So last year, as you said, over nearly €361 million was spent on providing emergency accommodation, which is an increase of €74 million compared to the previous year. A report by Focus Ireland shows that over €270 million of this, or 75% of all spending, went to private for-profit providers. Now, we'll get more onto the costs and some of the suggestions to bring this down in a minute. But Ivan, look, I'm walking the streets every day. I often have chats with those sleeping rough, and many of them will tell you they don't want to go into the hostels. They would actually prefer to sleep on the streets. Now, of course, look, everyone has their own circumstances and what suits their needs best. And of course, then there are accommodation providers out there who I'm sure are doing great work. But then there are others where people just don't feel safe for a number of reasons. I met with an 18-year-old young woman who wants to go by the name of Rosie. Now, she's sleeping in a tent and says she will not go back to the private hostels.
I finished treatment and I ended up taking stuff I shouldn't have, and I left, ended up homeless. I ended up in a hostel, which was a privately owned one in the city centre, and that was okay. Bit of drugs, bit of violence, not major though. I've been finding it hard, like it's a hard life, especially when you are 18, to try and cope. Not a lot of 18-year-olds actually have to worry about where they're going to shower, where they're going to sleep, how they're going to get support.
What was it that made you decide to leave the hostel then, and now you're living in a tent?
Well, I suppose I was in an all-women's hostel, and I thought it would be okay because it seemed to be well managed at the start. But about a week, 2 weeks in, I got my stuff stolen. Everything was just taken, and I made the decision there to not go back.
So what did you do then?
I went out. I had to try find a tent for me and my partner, who's also homeless. And it's been hard ever since, but I can understand why people are not wanting to go into hostels, because the stories I've heard about hostels have been crazy, like stuff out of horror movies you'd hear.
You feel safer in a tent rather than under a roof?
Absolutely. I would much rather live in a tent in my own space than live in a hostel which could be filled, where anyone could do anything.
So what's your plan now? Are there plans to try and get into somewhere more permanent?
Yeah, I'm hoping to hopefully move in somewhere with my current boyfriend, and I'm hoping as well to start a college course and do a fitness and sports course to become a personal trainer. But I'd also love to work with youth who are at risk of being homeless and are at risk of taking substances.
Well, you're a great talker, and thanks very much for sharing your own insight into what it's like.
Thank you.
All the best now with everything.
Thank you.
Yeah, really interesting first-hand experience of the dangers and the fears of being in a hostel. So tell me, Josh, what's the latest plan to try and bring down the costs of emergency accommodation?
Well, there's nothing set in stone yet, Ivan, but the Dublin Region Homeless Executive presented part of its homeless draft action plan to Dublin councillors last month, and there's now a consideration being given that the council will build or buy their own homeless accommodation, which was described as possibly a volumetric type of modular housing. And this, look, it was largely welcomed by councillors, and I suppose, Ivan, if you were an accountant and you were looking at the figures involved for private accommodation, I suppose you would say this would be a wise move in the long term.
So what's been the political reaction to this, John?
Well, there was an agreement that this could be one way to reduce the reliance on the private sector, but then there were also concerns that, look, a temporary measure could become a long-term reality. A comparison was given by one councillor about what you see with prefabs in schools for years. It's also been described as an admission of failure. I met with Sinn Féin spokesperson for housing, Ona Brin, who had some staggering figures for me when it comes to the cost of providing private emergency accommodation.
About 60% of all people in emergency accommodation are in private emergency accommodation, one kind or another. And of course, the private emergency accommodation is much, much more expensive.
What kind of money are we talking here? Like, how much does it cost to provide accommodation for a family?
So I got some figures from the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive recently. So if a family were to present today in Dublin seeking emergency accommodation, and let's say they had three children or four children, the emergency accommodation could be costing up to €140,000 a year. For the family with, say, four children, it could be costing up to €180,000 a year. And families of that size are likely to spend 2 to 3 years in emergency accommodation. So it is more than the cost of buying a second-hand home. It makes no sense to be forking out hundreds of thousands of euros for what's in many cases very poor quality private emergency accommodation when that money could be used to buy homes and prevent people from becoming homeless in the first place.
So if you're saying it makes no sense, what's your view on this idea of the council building or buying emergency accommodation?
Well, what it is it's an admission by government and the department, because it's government and the Department of Housing who are driving this decision, not Dublin City Council. First of all, it's a huge admission of failure. So what the minister should be doing is reintroducing the ban on no-fault evictions. What the minister should be doing is restoring and increasing the funding for vital homeless prevention schemes like Housing First and Tenant in Situ. And crucially, increasing and accelerating the delivery of both social and affordable homes. This government is clearly thrown in the towel. This government is clearly putting pressure on the councils to reduce the cost of emergency accommodation by owning their own emergency accommodation.
Current model is obviously attractive for many people to get into. So do you think there will be a change now?
I'm hearing nothing from the current Minister for Housing, James Brown, or the government that they're going to make that change. And given that tonight 5,000 children will sleep in inadequate emergency accommodation at a time when the government has more surpluses than it's ever had, that is a scandal that we should not accept.
All right. So you've spoken to users of the homeless service, you're speaking to politicos. Did you speak to anyone working in the front line of emergency supports?
I did, Ivan. So I called into the Mendicity Institute in Dublin, the oldest working charity in Dublin. There's a daytime shelter there, open from dawn till dusk. They provide food, showers, clothes, laundry, many other supports down there. So they're meeting with people every day who've been homeless for years, others who've recently become homeless. I spoke with the CEO of the Mendicity Institute, Louisa Santora. Now, Louisa says that purpose-built accommodation would be welcome, but this should have been done many years ago.
Things have been continuously increasing for years, and this is not a problem that is going away. Everybody who's sitting on the other side of the counter here today that you see is homeless, whether it be rough sleeping or in emergency accommodation.
So on the emergency accommodation, what do you think of this idea now of Dublin City Council building its own emergency accommodation or buying?
There has been a huge reliance and a swing towards the dependence on private providers for emergency accommodation for people who are homeless. Anything to do to change that would be most welcome. The idea that Dublin City Council or the DRHE may buy some of the accommodation that they're already using, I would be really curious about that, because you may find that some of the accommodation that they're using on a lease through a private provider would not meet the basic standards that they would demand themselves, which asks the question of why are we using it, or why are we using accommodation that wouldn't meet their own standards.
They might say, what else are they meant to use right now?
Well, what else are they meant to use could have been a plan for 10 years ago. The idea that we are now in a conversation where we could consider building, we seem to be really late to the party here.
And over the years since you've been in this work, have you noticed that the model that's currently being used, has it become maybe an attractive or lucrative route to go down for the private providers?
There's no question about it. I mean, there's certainly, it is a lucrative industry. It is a lucrative business. It has become a lucrative business. And arguably, is this the direction of travel that we should be in? It certainly shouldn't be approached solely from that method. We're budgeting year to year, and we're budgeting election term to election term. This needs to stop being an election issue and be a sustainable social issue.
That was CEO of the Mendicity Institute, Louisa Santoro. So we have a lot of kind of unused buildings. I'm thinking of former convents and seminaries and religious buildings. Have many existing buildings been turned into homeless accommodation?
Well, an interesting development that's been highlighted in the media for the ongoing protests over the past few years is Tatney House in Kilmainham. So what you have here is a complex of over 30 apartments. I believe there were around 100 people living there. And there had been eviction notices issued to the residents living there, and some protested against this. They didn't want to leave. Then when it came to the final residents leaving this time last year, they were not really sure what was going to happen, this development. Now, it has transpired this year that a planning application has been made to turn the complex into a homeless hostel. So you can understand how the old tenants are feeling about this. They were made clear out of their homes, some going into council housing, others having to find somewhere new. And then where they were living is planned, or an application has been put in to be turned into a homeless accommodation. Now, Madeline Johansson is a Red Network councillor, but she herself was one of the tenants in this complex. She says it's bizarre that permanent residents can be put out for a model like this.
They applied for a planning exemption to provide emergency accommodation for homeless families in the building, which is pretty crazy considering that there was 33 apartments, almost 100 people that were evicted from permanent tenancies, or as permanent as you get in this country.
Converted into something that maybe these old residents, former residents, might find themselves in again one day.
That's the really crazy thing, right? Because we were obviously lucky in the end. We had been on the council list, myself and my husband, we had been on the council list for many years. So we got housed by Dublin City Council. But others obviously had to leave, and we could have ended up actually being homeless and in emergency accommodation and ended up in the same place, but this time as homeless, which is just crazy and should not be happening.
You should never assume, but I'm just going to guess that the housing crisis must have been one of the reasons why you were inspired to get involved in politics from the beginning. So what do you think now of this idea of purposely building or buying emergency accommodation?
So I do think that it's a better idea than private emergency accommodation is for the state to provide it directly, because first of all, it saves money. No one is profiteering out of the misery, but also it gives more control over what happens in those places. So if it's run by local authorities, for example, at least councillors have some oversight and some say in what goes on in those places. But I would say that the main thing that the government needs to do is fund local authorities and build the social housing.
That was South Dublin County Councillor Madeline Johansson ending that report from Josh Crosby into new ways of dealing with the 15,000, 16,000 in a homeless situation.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.